All right, pain management. Stop the pain now. We have a couple different strategies. The first one is we can stop the stimulus. So if you have a splinter in your thumb, take it out. If you're banging your head against the wall, stop. You know, stop the stimulus of the pain. Next one, introduce competing stimulus. This is the gate control theory. Rub the arm. Give a back rub. Induce natural endorphins. Have the patient walk. Any type of exercise will help to induce natural endorphins. Maybe not enough to give them a runner's high, but it will help them feel better over the long run. Increase brain modulation. Have them listen to music. Have them watch something fun. Distract them. Have them do art. Anything that distracts the brain from concentrating on pain will reduce their pain perception. And then we have, well, the focus of this class, drugs. Now, our drugs, we have a couple different possibilities here. The first thing we can do is we can inhibit nociceptor sensitivity. Now, what did we say sensitizes nociceptors? Inflammation. So if we reduce inflammation, if we inhibit inflammation, or if we inhibit that substance, what? Substance P, we will reduce nociceptor sensitivity. The next thing we can do is we can inhibit spinal synaptic sensitivity. So we can inhibit that synapse. There's a couple drugs that do that. They're fairly new, and we're actually not going to learn about them in this class, but they are out there. And then we can inhibit brain pain receptors. We're going to do this quite a bit with opioid drugs. And then finally, we can inhibit neuron transmission. So we can just stop the transmission at all, overall. What's the name of the drugs that do that? Anesthetics. So really, we're going to talk about one, two, three different strategies for reducing pain. First one we're going to talk about is local anesthetics. How do local anesthetics work? They just completely stop transmission. Now, if you completely stop transmission of pain, nerves, what else might you also stop? Other nerves. So you're eventually going to lose other types of feeling as well. If you block it even more, you might stop the other side, which is instead of taking impulses up to your brain, you might stop the impulses going out. And then what happens to a person? Not die yet. They lose motor function. Shabu, have you ever seen Bill Cosby's dentist? You ever seen Bill Cosby's dentist routine? He talks about, you know, gets this massive injection and he starts to feel the side of his face slide down into his lap. And so who's ever been to the dentist and got numbed? Can you talk normally? You try and pucker up next time. I'll be like, Yeah. Why is that? Not only are you blocking pain, you're also blocking motor function as well. So, as we increase the dose of our local anesthetics, the first thing to go is pain perception. The next one is cold and warmth perception. Then touch it all. Then deep touch, and we can also block the motor function as well. So it's not a selective thing. When you start blocking one, you begin to block all of them eventually. You can also put anesthetics in combination with vasoconstrictors. What's the major vasoconstrictor that we talked about? Starts with an E. Epinephrine. Now, your book talks about the difference between esters and amides. We're not going to ask you any questions about that. Adverse effects. You can get some central nervous excitation if they exit the tissue, go up in the bloodstream to the brain, followed by depression and then death. This is in extreme overdose cases, very, very uncommon. In the cardiovascular system, they can cause heart block and death. We actually will give lidocaine for some heart problems. So even though it's a local anesthetic, we sometimes also use it for the heart. We'll talk about that next semester when we talk about antidysrhythmic drugs. And then they can cause allergic reactions. These are more common with the ester type than the amide type. But again, not going to talk too much about that. Say again?
Doesn't depress respiration,
no. Say again?
Doesn't affect the vagus nerve?
No. In the heart, what it does is it actually numbs the heart muscle cells and makes them less responsive to the electrical stimulus. All right. The three things we're going to talk about. First one is procaine, better known as Novocaine. It is a very old drug. It is not readily absorbed. It is not very effective topically, and it is not very used. It's not used very often today. So if you've ever been to the dentist's office and they gave you some Novocaine, no, they didn't. Yeah, 99% of the time when they say they're giving you Novocaine, guess what they're not giving you? Novocaine. Chances are they're going to be giving you lidocaine. Now, lidocaine works better topically, and it's usually a 2% solution. So if you ever work in a doctor's office or a setting where they do a lot of local anesthetic procedures, it'll usually be lidocaine 2%. And you'll usually have two little vials right next to each other, and one will say lidocaine 2% with epi, the other one will say lidocaine 2% without epi. Now, why would we want to give with epi? Okay, less bleeding because of the vasoconstriction. Why else? Not because of allergies. It's a good guess. What else does vasoconstricting the tissue do? Okay, so it decreases absorption. So is it going to last, or is our effect going to last longer or shorter? Longer. And are we going to need more or less? Less. So we can get the same effect with a lower dose. It's going to last longer, and it's going to bleed less. Now, if you're cutting into a person, does that sound like a good thing? Bleed less? Absolutely. Now, why would we not want to use lidocaine with epi? Say again? Okay, not so much coagulant, but if they have any kind of cardiovascular problems, you might not want to risk a little bit of epinephrine causing any cardiovascular problems. If they have vascular disease, like say they have peripheral arterial disease, you don't want to cause vasoconstriction. If you're doing the procedure in a place that does not have a good blood supply, you can actually cause tissue necrosis just because not enough blood can get to that area. So there's a fun little jingle that we can remember. You're not supposed to use lidocaine with epi on fingers, nose, penis, and toes. So say it. You shouldn't use epi on fingers, nose, penis, and toes. Now, there is an exception there, and that's if they're doing a circumcision. If you inject lidocaine with epi into the foreskin, well, guess what we're about to do? Cut it off. So it doesn't matter if that little bit of tissue necroses or not, because it's going to be dead and cut off in a minute. All right, and then we have the last one. When you want to be down, down on your knees, cocaine. Now, cocaine is actually not a completely restricted drug in this country. It has legitimate medical purposes. It's primarily used in surgeries on the eyes, ears, nose, throat area. So how many of you have ever had your tonsils out? Or adenoids? Had your nasal passages opened up. If you did, chances are you received some cocaine during that surgery. In addition to being... Now, the reason they're using it there is not so much for the anesthetic quality as it is a vasoconstrictor. Cocaine is both a very good anesthetic and it's also a very good vasoconstrictor, which is one of the reasons why it appeared in Dr. Pemberton's Coca-Cola formula. I don't know if it was the first, but it was commonly used for a long time.
Yeah.
And Dr. Pemberton, the guy who came up with the formula for Coca-Cola, originally meant for it to be a headache remedy. And so that's why it's got caffeine in it, and he had cocaine in it as well. Fun stuff. All right. All right, we'll introduce opioids and then we'll end. So, vocabulary, opioid. An opioid is any agent that activates opioid receptors or acts like an opiate. Now, the difference between opioid and opiate is that opiates come from opium flowers, the poppy plant. So if you've seen the episode of Seinfeld where Elaine has too many poppy seeds and then she tests positive for opioids, well, the reason is because poppy seeds come from the poppy plant where we get... Yeah. All right. So opiates are natural. Opioids are natural plus artificial. That's the difference between the word opiate and opioid. In our class, we don't really care. But if you ever talk to someone who's like hardcore pharmacologic chemist type, you know, you might want to know the difference. Now, the term narcotic. The term narcotic is next to meaningless. Originally, narcotics were opiates and opioids. But because of Miami Vice and other popular television shows, the word narcotic now includes LSD and cocaine and things that are not opioids and opiates or don't even produce anything close to their effects. So if you say narcotic now, it's really ambiguous as to what you really mean. So we don't like to use that word in the medical setting. Narcotic also has a connotation of criminal, which it's not always a criminal endeavor. So that's the other problem with the word narcotic. So we are not going to use the word narcotic, even though technically one could. Now, there's three different types of endogenous opioids, enkephalins, endorphins, and dynorphins. We're not really going to use that for very much, so it's mostly just trivia for you. There are three receptor types in the opioid family. First one are called mu. They are the most affected by opioid drugs. They cause analgesia. What is analgesia? What's algesia? Pain. So what is analgesia? No pain. So they reduce pain. They cause respiratory depression, which means that a person breathes less often. What was the normal breathing rate? 12 to 20. So what is going to be respiratory depression? Anything under 12. What is going to be severe respiratory depression? Half it. 6. So 6 or less is going to be severe respiratory depression. Euphoria. I feel good. Sedation. GI motility. They're going to slow down the gut. So is a person more likely to have diarrhea or constipation when they have this kind of stimulation? Constipation. And then they will also cause physical dependence, which means when a person stops taking them, they will get the opposite of all these things. So when a person stops taking opioids, they are going to be a little bit more sensitive to pain. They're going to have tachypnea, fast breathing rate. They are going to feel bad, what we call dysphoria. They're going to have the opposite of sedation, which is excitation, commonly referred to as hopped up. And then finally, diarrhea. So those are the withdrawal syndromes. Then we have the kappa receptors, which are weakly affected by opioid drugs that we currently have on the market. They cause analgesia, sedation, and GI motility. And then finally, we have the delta receptors, which are not affected by any of the opioid drugs we use. Now, why do you care about them then? Well, you don't. But what you do need to know is that in the future, we might have drugs that affect these receptors more strongly, and they may have different side effect profiles and different therapeutic profiles than the drugs we currently have, because the drugs we currently have primarily affect mu. All right, that is, we're going to talk one last thing. Once we have our drug, it can do one of two different things to the receptor. It can either activate the receptor or it can block the receptor. If it blocks the receptor, it is going to be an antidote to our opioid drugs. There's only one of those that you really need to know, and it is known as naloxone or Narcan. So Narcan is the antidote for opioid what? Overdose. How are we going to know if a person is overdosed? Respiratory depression. And what's it going to be less than? Well, less than 12 is respiratory depression, but when are we going to intervene and give our Narcan? Less than 6. All right. There's a class of drug that's in the middle, and they're called partial antagonist agonists. And what that means is that they'll cause a little bit of stimulation, but if you give them in combination with another drug that works really well, it'll kick those other ones off. And then for our agonists, we have two subclasses, strong and moderate. We have no weak, only strong and moderate. And with that, we are going to end.